I tell you what, so.
What's up?
It's this weird weather. It's what, this is what does it. Beetle is out sick, legitimately sick. You heard Fred this morning. It's this back and forth. Cold, wet, dry, rainy.
Yeah, I always thought that too, and then I got educated on it. It's actually about the germs that are out there in the air and what you touch, what you put in your mouth. It's not about hot, cold, rain, snow, whatever. Even though it makes you feel worse, right? You wake up and it's rainy and chilly. You're like, ooh.
Really?
Your car's dirty as hell, by the way, man.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
Let me tell you something.
Tell you what, that stormtrooper, and Hardy's got a white car with just a black eyes, blacked out.
Used to
looks like a stormtrooper.
Used to look great every day, right?
Yeah, until we moved.
Until we moved.
We can't get a good car wash around here. You can't. Well,
who has time for a car wash before or after the show anymore?
Well, there's a good car wash right down the street here.
There's a couple.
I won't
name them either. There's a couple really good ones close by. Do you have an extra 5 minutes for a car wash on the way in here?
Depending on what the traffic pattern is once I hit Morrissey, yes.
Some
days I do, some days I don't.
I mean,
today I did not. Today was just awful traffic day.
And do you mess around with spending 5 extra minutes getting your car washed on the way out of here? Ever?
Oh, God, no. Never. No. That's never on the way out.
No.
No, you got to get on an expressway to beat the traffic. Not that people care a bitch about our traffic patterns, but that. But it stinks that there are really good car washes around here, but they don't give you the monthly, like the unlimited monthly.
That's what you and I both did, the monthly.
There used to be a fantastic one on Route 1 in Dedham. Well, there is still one there. It's just I never go by it again. It's next to Chick-fil-A.
I know.
Yeah. Well. All right.
Okay, so we're off and running here.
Yes,
on this,
everybody
Wednesday.
Back to work today after they voted. They easy drive yesterday and not today.
I guess it was.
Well, there were a lot of kids off too because some
my kids were out of school for the voting.
I credit Rentham and thank God we live in Rentham. Thank you for making our kids go to work and bring their lunch while people voted in your cafeteria.
I really
kids
don't.
Ate bag lunch in their classrooms.
Maybe it's a security thing. They just don't want the people in the schools and that many strangers.
Can you turn that off in my head, please? I mean, I can't ignore it so only for so long. I've done a good job. It's been 5 minutes, and I got pocket full. There it is.
There we go.
Why is it low in my ear, and I'm trying to talk? You're like a producer on TV telling me I got 30 seconds left. Jesus. Thank you. Okay.
So everybody's back to work today. The traffic was indicative of that. We are off and running talking about a certain someone who could have signed with the Patriots. Had he wanted money, could have signed with the Steelers. Had he wanted money, he didn't want money, though. He wanted to go home.
Yeah, and thank God he didn't sign here. If that's the case, you know, there's a guy who did this before by the name of Derek Mason, elected to go to Tennessee because his wife was Baltimore. It's Baltimore. He left Tennessee. He went to Baltimore. That's right. Belichick wanted him to come here. And his wife liked Baltimore better. It was supposedly because of the shopping or something. I don't know. It was some crazy reason.
They got nice.
Remember when they were bitching at each other on Belichick mic'd up? Hey, Mason, why don't you check the effing scoreboard? He was yapping at Bill after he made a catch.
Oh, that's
hey,
right.
Hey, Mason, scoreboard.
That's right.
Bill never does that, man. Bill never goes back and forth with a player on another team like that. He'll do it like out of respect. That's not out of respect. That's like, F you. Look at the scoreboard. So I got a little whiff last night that maybe they were interested in Bruce Irvin, and they should be because I think once he cleared waivers and you're not responsible for the $3.8 million of dead money there, now all of a sudden you're in on it.
Okay.
So I put the Bruce Irvin watches on Twitter. I actually put Bryce Irvin, his brother.
Oops.
Where's actually triplets? There's another one.
Okay, but for people who don't know, Bruce Irvin, former first-round pick?
Yeah.
Released by the Raiders a couple of days ago.
But we saw him with the Legion of Boom back in the day in 14 when Seattle was jamming, man. And you had Wagner at inside. You had Cliff Averill. You had Bruce Irvin on that team. And you're thinking, Jesus, this is a hell of a good front. And that was with Michael Bennett up front and, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Browner. shoot, I even forgot about... the hell's his name? 25. Richard Sherman. That was a damn good defense. And Irvin made a lot of money because of the people that played around him in Seattle. Credit to you. You go and you sign this big deal. I think he's sort of that one-trick pony, sort of an edge guy, meaning he's a good rusher. He gets upfield. That's what you need here. Imagine what we started to see this past week with Claiborne starting to come on, Trey Flowers really starting to play really, really well. You throw this guy into the mix where you leave Hightower in the middle and you got Van Noy on the other side. That's pretty exciting. The Patriots are in on him. That means they're in. They're in. That means they like this team and they're trying to add to it and fix it. So the fact the Steelers and the Patriots offered Irvin more money. He said, "You know what? I'm gonna go to Atlanta because that's home. Play in front of my home, my people."
Okay, so
good for you.
A couple of things with Irvin. Number one, I don't really know what his skill set is right now. I haven't watched a ton of Raiders games, and by the way,
it hasn't been good.
It's been putrid, and this is a team that has made some curious decisions, especially defensively, with the trade of Khalil Mack and deciding that, you know what, we're going to do things a little bit differently around here.
Do you remember 8 weeks ago when there were people picking John Gruden and the Raiders as a sexy pick to contend in the AFC and a potential Super Bowl pick?
Because
you had Mack and Irvin and these guys in the front? They have neither of them now.
They have neither one.
Ugh.
But Irvin wasn't playing a lot. I don't know what it means from the Raiders' side.
I think he quit on him. I think he quit.
I think he quit on him a little bit, and he wasn't getting a lot of reps, and he's only got six tackles, three sacks. I mean, he's been playing, but not a lot. But the situation with the Raiders is so weird that you can't tell a whole lot about the player based on his release from the Raiders and what he did there. Because that's a messed up situation going on with that team right now.
Yeah.
I can tell more about him due to the fact that both the Steelers and Patriots were in on him. Now, we're taking him at his word. Number one.
This is where you got James Harrison last year. Don't forget that. James Harrison was here. And this is about where you picked him up. You think, okay, Steelers whacked him. They don't want him. He clears waivers. Go get his ass.
Right. Now, number one, do you believe that both the Patriots and Steelers offered him more money?
Yes.
And he chose Atlanta instead?
Yes.
Why would he do that?
Because of the amount of money he's already made in the league and to the point where, okay, I already quit on a team this year. So now all of a sudden I'm starting to think, what makes me happy? Does money really make me happy? Well, I got a lot of money now. And a lot of money goes a long way in Atlanta. I got a bunch of friends, ex-teammates that live down there. They live there for the reason. Cost of living is great. You can have massive houses for low amounts of money. It's a happening city. It's easy to get in and out. It's got the airport. There's a lot of advantages to live down in Atlanta. From the culture standpoint, he may like to go home from that originally being his home, and that's his off-season home. So, credit to him. Hey, I want to be happy at the end of my career, so I'm going to go home and play in front of my guys. So
it really
is. He's in the brotherhood now.
It's
like, that's their thing, hashtag brotherhood.
It's really more about him enjoying himself than it is about football.
Which makes me glad he picked there instead of here, because I don't know how serious he would have been.
Thank you.
He would have came here for the money.
Thank you.
Because he would have came here for the money.
The fact that he's...
I wanted him.
Now, look.
Yeah, I wanted him because I want to be good and I want to get to the big show. Okay, I want to do it. I'm going to call another Super Bowl. But I think he could have helped you off the edge. I think he could have.
Everything that you just said makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I already kind of quit on the Raiders this year, and I've made a lot of money. I don't really need the money. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be around my friends and my family. And everything you say, not one reason has to do with football, right?
Yep.
I'm sure he likes the idea of putting on a Falcons uniform and playing in front of his hometown crowd. He likes the idea of it, but does he really like the idea of getting in and doing everything that needs to be done in order to help that team win? And is he going to make a difference with the Falcons anyway?
Well, you got to see you got a head coach there that's the former defense coordinator when he was with the Legion of Boom. So there's always that institutional knowledge of, I know what I could get out of this player. Maybe he can Maybe he can get more
maybe
out of
it. Maybe he can.
Yeah. And I think it's easy for him because then terminology and the calls are easy. You know, when you come here, like when it was James Harrison, it took a while. Like, the Patriots defense has some tough calls. It's a tough defense to pick up, as their offense is. And it's complicated. I don't know how complicated Atlanta is. I think they line up and go get people. They try to, at least. They like to have this bravado that they're a blitzing team, but they're not that good in the secondary. We saw that.
It's a guy who's not looking for a challenge. It's a guy
who's... Yeah, he chose the easy path.
He doesn't have anything to prove. And in a vacuum, if you look at it like any other job in any other situation, of course he went to Atlanta. It's a guy who's at the tail end. He's going to go home. He's going to end up living there after he's done playing, maybe.
Yeah.
But what? I got to go relocate. I got to find a place to live. I got to play outdoors in New England in the wintertime. No, no, no. Do I need to do anything? No. What do I want to do?
Yeah,
I just want to go home.
I'm going to play Matt Ryan, not play with Tom Brady. What does that say?
He's not even that
good. Like Mason. Mason chose to go to Baltimore, and he didn't want to play with Brady.
But so I think it's a little bit about dodging a bullet with this guy if you're the Patriots or the Steelers, because this is a guy who's not, if he were really interested in playing football and winning, A, he would have played football for the Raiders, because it does feel like he quit on him a little bit, And it's, look, there's two sides of that coin. I think the Raiders are quitting on a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, they're in tear-up mode, man.
It is a bad situation there. But if you're looking at a team that really has the best chance at going to a conference championship mm-hmm. and a Super Bowl, when you're choosing between the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Falcons, how do you rank them 1, 2, 3?
Well, based on what you just witnessed with the Rams and Saints, I wouldn't say that Atlanta's really a contender right now. I would say that Carolina's more of a contender right now. New England's obviously the contender. You go to New England. You go to New England or you go to Pittsburgh. I'd go to New England or Pittsburgh over Atlanta if you're serious about playing football.
And that's why
Pittsburgh's coming on.
And that's why I think both the Pats and the Steelers dodged a bullet.
Okay, we just had a 13-minute segment. It opened up talking about your car, and I love our listeners because I already got three emails on Dorchester-based car washes or those within a great, sort of a 5-mile vicinity of our building here. Continue those to come in at zoe@985thesportshub.com. zoe@985thesportshub.com.
So they're emailing you and not sending you tweets.
Email. I like it. Wow. Or hit me on Twitter, at Scott Zolak.
No, but that feels like more of an official invitation.
I'm looking for
a
good,
that.
Fast, quick one where it's not a lot of lines. It's got the unlimited monthly. And the wheel's got to be done. It's got to have the wheel bright.
Well, it's got to be wheel. It's got to have the tire shine.
Tire shine. I stand corrected. Tire shine. Right. And I don't want these hokey ones where I go through and it gets like hits half my tire. Then that pisses me off. Then I got to go in and get the tire foam.
Feel free to forward those to me.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think one may actually be a client. I am not sure, so I'm not going to verbally say it because we don't want to tick off any clients.
We're going to get to some Jaylen Brown, who is feeling very sure of himself with the Celtics.
Let's do that.
We'll do that. Albert Breer will be joining us for a couple hours today, talking all things football with Albert.
Breer.
Also, Brad Stevens with his weekly phone call all today. On Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy filling in for Beetle.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hayward, over the shoulder pass, finds Jaylen Brown. Good look at the left side, three splash.
They say he got here early, shooting jump shots, able to knock those down effectively. Good shot then, and nice opportunity.
And Mike Malone will call the early timeout, just 2 minutes and 44 seconds in. Celtics off to another good start here in Denver. Boston 10, Denver 2.
I am Superman. Wrong song, though.
Oh!
They stole it from R.E.M. Stole the riff.
It's not even an R.E.M. song.
I know. It's Guns N' Roses.
No. I'm saying the R.E.M. song Superman is not an R.E.M. song.
Well, it's theirs. They owned it. They made it theirs.
It's by a band called The Click.
Click this.
All right. So it's Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in for Beetle. And now...
Welcome to the Magic Mystery Ride, pal. You're not in for Beetle. You're here every day, buddy.
That's right. Sarge is in for me. That we can say.
I am so...
Sarge is here.
I am so proud of this young man, Mike Sarge Riley.
You're proud of him?
Yeah. Look at the hair over there. He's got it grown from the DeStefano group. And
right,
lost his weight. And he's banned from Toucher and Rich.
That's a good problem, right?
Yeah. Well, look at you. That's your problem, bro.
Yeah,
I'm not banned. I like those guys.
I love everyone the same.
No, you don't. You didn't say that during the break.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You were swearing when I walked in there.
Narc.
I'm not a narc.
He is. No, you can't say anything around Zoe that you don't want repeated. That's all.
Telephone, tell a Bill, tell a Zoe.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown feeling very good about himself.
Like Sarge, yep.
Right. Yeah, look, for good reason. Jaylen Brown's a nice player. Jaylen Brown has made contributions to this Celtics team.
Jaylen Brown needs to shut up.
Well, Jaylen Brown might have some problems with math.
I can't wait to talk to
Stevens. Is the only thing I'm saying. So, Tom, are we going
to... I cannot wait to talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50.
Are we going to listen to the actual audio here? Is this what we're going to do? Okay, this is from a video that was posted, I believe, on Bleacher Report. Okay? And this is him talking with Taylor Rooks. And here's Jaylen Brown of your Boston Celtics.
So, 28-year-old Jaylen. How many championships 28-year-old Jaylen got?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but it's 7-6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say 5 or 6. I'll go ahead and say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what... I'm going to go with that, yeah.
How confident are you about winning this year?
super confident.
Like, people misconstrue confidence and arrogance.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not being arrogant, and we're going to have to take the steps to be the team that we say we want to be, right? Because we got the mindset of a champion. I think that's where it starts.
Okay, see, and when people say, with all due respect, that means you probably shouldn't be saying.
I'm going to say something disrespectful.
You're like, you know, the only reason I'm answering it this way is because I'm really confident and you play to win. I never play. No, nobody ever shows up to a freaking game to lose. Nobody. I don't care how bad your team is. So when you preface it with all that, you already know you stepped in a big pile of dog poo. You know what I'm saying? How confident are you? Super, he's Gronk confident. Sounds like Gronkowski. Super confident.
Super. How you feel? It feels super.
You know, when I first saw this, I'm thinking, oh, what are you doing, Jaylen Brown?
Welcome to the problems what good teams have to deal with.
Okay.
I mean, this is what Brad has not had to have this for, you know, it started about a year ago or 2 years, and you know, Isaiah is a little bit of a, you know, chest thumper, right? Al Horford never really opens his mouth. He's like the perfect pro. It's the flash guys that you gotta deal with, man. You got Marcus Smart's album now. He's got a rap record. This guy said he's got 5 rings in the next 6 years. And you're not 10-2 right now.
But when you listen to what he actually says,
yeah,
right? Because the headline is, I'm going to have 5 rings by the time I'm 28. I'm like, what? You're only 22. What, are you getting traded to the Golden State Warriors? How are you going to manage that? How's that going to happen? But when he talks it out and when you listen to what he says,
yeah,
like, look, that's the mindset of a champion. You're out there to play every day. You're out there to win every day. And that's what I expect. I understand. You know, people confuse confidence with arrogance or right. arrogance with confidence. All he's saying is that it is his expectation yeah. to go out there and win every game and to win all these championships. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to
be. Well, don't answer the ring question. That's the problem. See, Brady's played in 8. He's won 5. Does he answer it that way? How many more rings are you going to win in the next 3 years you're going to play?
I think Brady would say 3 more.
I don't think he says that. He says, well, you know, I mean, that's ultimately what you want.
Brady has been very, very cocky.
You don't put a number on it.
But he doesn't get called out for it because he's already got the hardware to back it up. Huh. And it's all part of his whole mantra about positive thinking and everything.
Right.
It's like everything is geared toward this notion yeah. that you can, you know, you can will yourself into anything.
Right.
And, you know, with Brady, like I said, he's got the track record. It comes off as, I don't know, maybe a little distasteful
right.
for some guy who's 22 years old.
Well, we had this
but
discussion.
I understand what he's saying.
We had this
really
discussion yesterday.
I don't mind it.
You know, the Murray 47 or whatever, 48, how many ever points he had the other night. We had the discussion of him being picked, you know, behind Jaylen Brown. Which player would you rather have if you could reset and look at that draft again? And I said, I like Jaylen Brown. I like Jaylen Brown for this team and how he fits here.
Yeah.
I don't know if the other kid would fit here with what they have. It'd be too much. I think Jaylen Brown's a perfect fit here.
All right, we have.
I like his swagger. I do. I like cocky guys. I do.
All right, let's get to the phones here.
It's gotta be careful when you answer this stuff, man.
617-779-0985. Cam and Merrimack has something on Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey guys,
what's up?
I'm not sure if you watched the interview, but he's not being cocky for himself. I mean, did you see how hot that woman was?
I thought the same thing, Cam. I'm like,
so this is like Stephen A. Smith from last year when he was checking a reporter out when he was answering questions, right? That thing went viral.
Are you going to sit there and be humble if you're talking to her? No, he was definitely hitting on her. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like that.
Let the man play. Let the man play.
Cam, good for you. Excellent. I'm picking up on that. I thought the same thing when I was watching it.
I didn't see it.
It's not out of the question. There she is.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think? You're going to sit there and be all humble and meek when you're sitting in front of Taylor Rooks? No.
She's really sitting upright.
Yes, she is. She has excellent posture.
Back does not hurt.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
I mean, my back. I slop sometimes.
Is he touching his face? That's a sign of flirting. Unconscious flirting. If you touch your face. Touch your hair.
So that's what it is?
Touch your hair.
So every time Pat Callahan, our sales guy, comes in and scratches the side of his face or touches it, he's flirting with me?
Zach wants to rip on me and support Sarge. Go ahead, Zach.
I don't get the Sarge jokes at all because I've never heard Sarge say anything that I haven't enjoyed listening to him. Whereas every single thing Hardy says is idiotic. And I'm going to give some examples. In the middle of the Red Sox season, Hardy actually argued that the Red Sox were the luckiest team in baseball, which starts with the premise that he must know how lucky every other team in baseball is.
Yeah.
Easily the stupidest take of the year, except for maybe the magic baseball gloves. So going back to the Altuve Dutch thing, Hardy actually argued that the magic baseball glove is what triggers the hand to close on a catch. And I think there's got to be a million Little League parents that want to know where to go get these magic gloves so their kids stop dropping baseballs and softballs.
Okay. Well, Zach, I don't remember saying that the Red Sox were a lucky team, but I also what I said with the catch was that I don't know of a lot of players who close their mitt until they actually feel the ball in the glove.
It's eye-hand coordination, and it's just like anybody, any athlete.
So Betts has none, then, you're saying?
He has tons.
Oh.
He has tons. The glove didn't close because the glove closed on contact, on fan contact.
Nah. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what Hardy argued. I said I'm the one that said no.
I said that.
I said no, it didn't. I said he mistimed it.
I said you don't close your glove unless the ball is in there. You don't close the glove because you think the ball is there. Okay, Zach. Good call.
Ha-ha.
All right. 617-779-0985, and thank you for listening, Zach. We're going to be here with Bert Breer starting at 10:50. A couple hours later.
Stevens at 12:50.
So
correct.
We should ask Brad Stevens about Jalen Brown.
Oh, we will.
But did you remember the question that you were going to ask Brad Stevens first today? Do you remember your first question for Brad Stevens?
If he likes Marcus Smart's new rap record.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure because I think it's an excellent question and you should ask.
It's a good icebreaker.
Right out of the gate. Do you want to practice?
Sure.
Okay, we like to practice those first questions to Brad Stevens every week. So, Sarge, you're going to have to play the part of Brad Stevens. Normally I do, but now you have to, okay?
Piece of cake.
So all you have to do is say, how you doing, guys? Okay? So,
all right.
Let's welcome in Boston Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, thanks for joining us.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Coach, good. Tough stretch here for you guys, but are you enjoying Marcus Smart's new rap record?
Marcus.
No, you don't have to do any
Oh, God, I was looking forward to that.
That's good. Yeah. I would even cut out the tough stretch part.
Yeah, you got to get him on track there. Like, hey, we've lost a couple here. Now we got
to see. I was going to be the company man and just kind of
go right to it. Do
you're not the company guy. You're supposed to be Brad Stevens.
That's what I'm saying.
What would Mike Rip
company?
I'm not going to mark.
What
would
Mike company guy?
Well, for Brad Stevens,
think old school. Mike Wallace, 60 minutes.
Oh.
Like just going for the kill. Start right away. Right away. Right. Don't butter him up.
Try to
ask the question. Like when he sat down with the Ayatollah. Are you a terrorist?
Right.
You know, that's how you start. Okay, try it again. All right, time to welcome in Boston Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, Coach. Are you a terrorist?
Sarge with the headlines.
You
here,
said that.
No, it's that's not.
That is kind of how you say it.
Not what I meant.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots will be back in the practice field today ahead of their Sunday game at Tennessee against the Titans. And former Patriot Mike Vrabel, turned head coach for the Titans. He knows a thing or two about Bill Belichick.
You know, as far as how much is his philosophy is in me, I think that, spending time there, I think there's some similarities that I believe in and that you grow up as a player believing in. But then I think we have a different personality. I respect his friendship. I respect his guidance and leadership when I played there. But now, we're competitors, and we have to do everything we can to try to beat the Patriots.
And some other Patriots news. According to Adam Schefter, running back Sony Michel likely to play Sunday after sitting out the last two games. Celtics Kyrie Irving, he's been fined $25,000 for throwing a ball into the crowd by the NBA after they lost in Denver on Monday. Celtics continue this road trip tomorrow against the Suns. Bruins coming off a Monday night win against Dallas. Back to work tomorrow at the TD Garden against Vancouver.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go.
Tom's back. Tom's back.
There he is.
Superman, and I get what's happening.
What's up, Chase Stew?
I am Superman, yeah. And I can do anything.
Click wrote this?
Click.
You don't really know that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, who's doing lead vocals on this show?
R.E.M.
Who's the lead singer of R.E.M.?
I have no clue.
It's not Michael Stipe. This is a Mike Mills lead vocal. The bassist. He's the secret weapon of R.E.M. Has always been Mike Mills. Bassist, backup vocalist, secret weapon of R.E.M. There we go. That's all we're going to talk about that. We're going to go back to the phones, talk about Jaylen Brown. Brad Stevens moved up to 1220 today, so we'll be joined by the Celtics head coach a little earlier than usual. Alex is in Chelmsford. He's got a take on Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show. Hey,
good phone.
So I got my phone perpendicular to my mouth.
Good like phone.
I hope it works. My take is basically...
I like that alien hum that we're getting.
Sorry about that. I'm new to the comments about Jaylen Brown, but basically that is the mentality of, you know, being a superstar and what's going to bring championships to the team. What I wanted you guys to talk on was a little bit of what was discussed, I think, yesterday, and that was how this whole rotation is going to work out. You have basically three superstars out there in Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving.
Okay, hold up on that car wash, gentlemen.
This is my takeaway.
Superstar?
I don't know.
Superstar? You got a superstar now in Jaylen Brown? You got to figure out how to rotate Jaylen Brown in with Jason. No,
I don't know.
You got to figure out. You got to figure out time for Kyrie, or you got to figure out time for Jason Tatum. You don't have to do any. You don't have to do any time figuring for Kyrie Irving. He plays as much as he wants,
right,
and as much as you think it's wise to play him. Then you're to me. When you're talking about starters and guys coming off the bench, there is only one guy to be concerned with, and that's Jason Tatum, maybe Marcus Smart.
Okay,
not concerned with Jaylen Brown's playing time.
This is not Brock Holt we're talking about here. So to be fair to Jaylen Brown, which I like to do because I like the player. I really do.
I like the player too. I like the whole team.
Guy rose to the occasion in the playoffs, showed you that I can elevate, that I belong on the big stage, I can play with the big boys. My game went up when the lights were its brightest. I'm playing on a team that is getting its tires pumped by everybody and their mother the entire offseason. LeBron James, the guy we couldn't beat, the team that we could not beat, has relocated. He is now in the West. So naturally, me being the young superstar, I'm starting five guy. My number one, top five guy at the Celtics, which I've been playing since I got here. Number three pick overall. He views himself as a superstar. And in that sport, you have to, or you don't belong. You don't ever belong.
Right. You don't
think Al Horford sits there and says it? I know he's a max player. I think his size and his ability and how he's played since day one puts him there, but I don't think Al really sits there. Yeah, I'm a max player. I'm like, Al Horford's not really a big three, even though we got to put him in there, but he was the first guy to help you get everybody else.
Yeah. He was the first one to fall, but you're right. You don't go into the NBA thinking, you know what? I'm going to be the best role player this league has ever seen. I'm going to be the best guy off the bench anyone's ever seen with the Celtics. No, there's an expectation due to the roster size, due to the way the game is played, just due to the sheer talent level that most guys need to possess to get into the NBA. So, you think of yourself as a superstar. I get that point. But in terms of how the Celtics manage the minutes, no, they do not have to be concerned with everybody's quote-unquote superstar status, including Jaylen Brown.
So you're sitting there, you're Jaylen Brown. Again, to speak for Jaylen Brown here, you're sitting there and you're just watching a guy, Marcus Smart, that comes off the bench that is an energy guy, that comes in and plays with the Nets, and that's his mojo, and that's his game. He just got 52 mil. And he just put out a record, 52 mil. You're Jaylen Brown like, well, what am I worth if he's worth 52 mil? Yeah, so okay. It's the NBA, man.
52 mil.
52 mil. We'll bring in some more of that record. I'm glad we were the first on it yesterday.
Yes,
we were. And everybody else jumped on it.
Yes, we were. Yeah. Jason in Nashua, you're on with Zoe and Beetle. Hardy in for Beetle.
What's up, Nashville? We're coming.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Sarge, it's Froggy. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Frogman. How you doing, pal?
Good, buddy, good. Hey, just give me a minute. I've been asking this question to a lot of people, and it's bothering me.
Dress up at Halloween?
No, I know the Frogman.
He was
Do you have that bar down there, that Froggy thing?
He was a teacher of mine.
Senior Frogs?
I was
I have been there, actually. I have been there. So just give me 1 minute.
Oh, you said Nashua.
Yes. Nashua.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Nashville.
All right. One minute starting now. Go, Jason.
Thank you. All right. So can you please let me understand this correctly. They've had two off-seasons. Look, I know Hayward was hurt, and I know Kyrie was hurt, but they basically have had two off-seasons to work with each other. And I just don't get why it's taken this. It doesn't. It boggles my mind. I just don't get how they are trying to work things out with each other. And if Golden State Warriors can figure out how to work with each other, like who gets shots, who gets what, why can't the Celtics figure it out?
I mean, I think it's a very good question.
It is a good question, but I think very extremely talented teams have issues with this at one point or another, whether it's the beginning of the year or the end of the year. Remember when Cleveland was going to the playoffs and Kyrie had LeBron put his arm around him, rub him on his head, you know, just don't worry about it. We're going to get this thing cranked out. Everybody thought that the Cleveland was dead, and then they end up going on this great run. Mm-hmm. Didn't Miami sort of go through this when LeBron constructed that big three down there? It took them a while to get it cranked up, and you got to learn to play with each other. You can do as much as you want in the offseason. There's nothing that's going to ever replicate real game and real game feel when you're playing teams, you understand what a team's going to roll out there. You know, I think second time, you look at Kyrie's game. Was it Detroit where they played Saturday and then they played him again on Monday?
Tuesday.
It was a home away? Okay,
yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I think Kyrie got, like, example there, got a good look at the defense and what Detroit was trying to do, and then applied, okay, here's what I've learned from just 3 days ago. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out for 31. And you learn how to beat teams throughout the course of a year. I think you'll get it cranked up. I'm not worried about the Celtic team.
I'm not worried about it either. I wonder if fans feel the same way, which is why they're, you know, look, you drop a couple of games on the road to get
and
things
play
going.
10 games.
You've got teams scoring a lot of points on you right now.
Well, defense, that's a concern.
Defense, a little time to gel. Like you said, it didn't happen immediately with other quote-unquote super teams. Takes a little bit of time. So we'll talk to Brad Stevens about that and more coming up at 12:20. Bert Breer set to join us next here.
He's running a little late.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start without him. We already started. Yeah. I guess you could say we started at 10 o'clock without him. We can do the show without him.
We need Bert.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go right to the phones here. Bert Breer will be joining us shortly. Diddy in Plainfield has a story for you, Zo. Go ahead.
What up, Diddy?
What's up, Zo? First time caller. I'm from Plainville. Local.
Nice.
Local.
Plainville.
Plainville.
Not Plainfield, intern.
Hey, you in Plainville?
Plainville, yep.
Hey, Thursday night, I'll be at Plainridge Park.
I'll see you there.
Yeah,
cool.
I'll be there, man. 7:30, 8:30. Flutie Sports Bar.
You'll play a little
bit. Remember the 90s?
Program?
Remember the King Philip pickup basketball game
yes,
when
sir.
You were there?
Yeah.
I was there in the 90s. I got a stupid bowl cut on my head.
Oh, my God. You're the crazy net. That's right.
That was so fun.
That was
and
awesome.
After the game, I was a young kid.
Yep.
You go around to get autographs, some of the players, and Willie McGinnis, every sign of my ball. I was the next one in line to get Drew Bledsoe's autograph, and he just walked away. Dude, I cried. I was a little kid, and then I got a picture with you, like a Polaroid picture, and you were wicked nice. And
it's a consolation prize.
I have like a wicked sad face. I got a picture with you. Like, I don't want a picture with Zoe, but I'm glad I did it.
There you go. See?
All right, well, thanks for the call, Diddy.
That's a great call.
He got wall-decked by Drew Bledsoe.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened.
But Zoe to the rescue.
Hey, can we do a little Ask Zoe segment here? For like the next 4 or 5 minutes?
Depends what you ask. Yeah.
Okay. I have a fall cleanup question.
Oh, okay.
Jim Louth is home today, but since he can't stay off his iPad and do...
Jim's gone down wormholes.
Sports-related things. He's gone down the Maryland Media Guide wormhole.
Correct.
Apparently, they're all posted online now, and Zoe is listed in one of the media guides as a business major.
It's also listed as a speech communications major also.
Right. What was your major at Maryland?
Agricultural business.
Did you graduate?
I did not.
Okay. But you took more classes in agricultural
yes.
business than anything else?
Yes, because you needed a 3.5 grade point average to be in the business school.
Okay.
Once you become a junior and senior. And obviously, I did not have
what
that.
What would you say you know the most about other than football?
Grass and
grass.
Turf.
Good. Good. Yep. Here's my question for you. Pine needles.
Pine needles. Ugh,
do they
killer.
Need to be removed
oh my
from
God,
the lawn?
Yes,
now,
yes, yes.
I'm
yes,
not talking
yes.
about a blanket of them. I'm talking about
Dusting? Sprinkle
a dusting of pine needles.
If you don't do it, you're going to be thatching your yard every year. And if to not understand what thatching is, it's like taking a comb and scraping your ground and just it ruins it. It'll kill your grass.
Yeah. Why will it kill the grass?
Because pine needles, they don't decompose correctly the way, you know, leaves do. Or
are they too acidic? Are they too acidic?
Yep. You put lime down. You got to put a ton of lime down too. It's cheap, like $3 a bag. Go to Home Depot, get a bunch of it. I told you, get that Malorgalite. If you want to just give a quick zap here before the freeze comes.
Uh-huh.
Yep, you can still put it down. And if you have heavy pine trees in your yards, as do I, you got to put lime down a lot. I put it down twice a year.
Okay, all right. There's
keep that pH right.
Any other questions for Zoe? Feel free to call in next.
It's good to plug your yard every third year too. So don't do it every year. But like, then when you get a sprinkler system, Bear Marco sprinkler.
Aeration,
yeah, plugs. Yeah. I'm not talking about the little. I'm talking about plugging it where it looks like geese poop everywhere.
Oh, yeah, like on a golf course.
Right.
They do that twice a year golf courses.
Well, they have a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah.
Plus, it's so tight.
Right. Okay.
Kind of feels like an episode of Home Improvement here with Zoe.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one more thing about the Celtics before we turn our attention to football, because it's all football while Bert is here. With the Celtics and Gordon Hayward, I was taken to task after I said he didn't look great in his first game back, and one guy said that I was an idiot for saying he didn't. I said, look, he didn't look like my. How does Gordon Hayward look to you now that we have a small sampling of games here?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah,
does he look like the force to be reckoned with maybe we thought he was going to be?
To be fair to Al Horford, as much as we rip Al Horford because of, hey, Al doesn't live up to the money, he's not worth $30 million a year. Gordon Hayward doesn't look like he's worth it right now. But, see, my expectations for Al Horford were like, okay, this is a guy that's still in the back end of his career. Looks like he's starting to age and get tired. That's not the case with Gordon. It could be a confidence thing with the ankle where he's just not feeling right yet. And we talked about this with Kyrie at the beginning of the year. Tommy Heinsohn called him 5 pounds out of shape. Kyrie said, thank you for ripping on me. Maybe Tommy Heinsohn should say something to Gordon Hayward. Don't worry about the ankle. Tape it up tight. Let it go. Hey, swing. What's his name from Signs?
Merrill.
Swing, Merrill.
Swing away, Merrill.
Swing away, Merrill. Hey, Gordon, swing away. Shoot away, pal. Just shoot.
But you
no, he doesn't look like the guy that was at Utah right now. No. But I think he will. See, I don't think that with Horford. What you see in Horford is what you get.
And we were told by enough people before Horford got here.
Okay.
If you're looking for this, you're not going to see that. What you're going to get is a guy who's going to give you 14, 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists, and he's going to do it in such a way that is going to help the team, and he's going to be a floor general, he's going to be a defensive guy. Fine, okay. And there are times when that's more apparent to me than others. So, there are some nights when I look at Al Horford and I'm like, I still don't see it, and other nights where I say, okay, I get it. But the book on Gordon Hayward is like, oh no, this guy's an assassin.
Well, wait a minute.
And this guy's going to contribute on both ends, and he's going to be that offensive piece that really puts the game away alongside Kyrie Irving. And when you've got Tatum out there contributing, wow, this is going to be an unstoppable force. No, I haven't seen that yet either.
Well, I go back to this time last year where I remember sitting here taking calls where people are bitching about Kyrie. This isn't Kyrie Irving. What the hell's wrong with Kyrie? How many games did it take him to get going? It wasn't just 3 or 4. It took a little bit. And then the guy ends up taking over. I think that's going to be what it's going to do. What's going to happen with Gordon here as this thing continues to go? He'll be fine. I just think he's holding back a little bit.
I think he's holding back a little bit too. And you've had experience with this, with injuries. And we've talked about it.
You'd be a little gun shy. And then, you know, it's like almost like you need a clock clean. Or he needs to. It's almost like he needs to go up, come down awkwardly, if that makes any sense. And then all of a sudden you feel something, but yeah, no, I'm all right. I'm actually okay.
I think he's come down on it hard a couple of times. And one time when he did, he said, yeah, I felt that pain shoot up my ankle and it was no fun.
There's got to be a sense of soreness or stiffness there too. Don't tell me there's not scar tissue. And I know it's ligament. It's all just a dislocation. You put it back in and everything still has to be right. It's not back to norm. It never is, never will be. But it'll be stable. It'll be fine. You play through it. I just think, you know, he needs to learn to play with it. And maybe that's part of it right now.
All right.
Plus, you're dealing with everybody else, too. Who's getting a rock? Do I piss this guy off if I shoot too much? He doesn't feel like it's his team. See, I think if you watch Kyrie play, and when Kyrie's on and Kyrie's hitting 30 or more, you can tell that's Kyrie's team. And I don't know if we're ever going to sit here and say, boy, this is Gordon's team. You know, this is Kyrie's team. Kyrie makes this thing go. He has the ball in his hand most of the time, and he should. But he's got to learn to help get this guy to it, going too. It's not all on Gordon Hayward. It's on Kyrie to help him with his looks and to put him in spots and to get him going. That's part of it, man.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:20. But joining us next, it's Albert Breer. Talk some Patriots, NFL. Some NFC questions for Bert, too.
Oh, so, do we?
Well, I do. You can ask him whatever you want.
I got some good ones.